Well, today being Father's Day, I would like to share with you 10 advantages of being a man. There are 10 advantages to being a man. The first advantage of being a man is your phone conversations never have to last more than 5 minutes. Okay? Second advantage of being a man is vacations of 7 days or less only require one suitcase or less. The third advantage of being a man is when you're channel surfing on your TV, you don't have to stop at every scene of somebody because somebody is either kissing or crying. The fourth is the closet in the spare bedroom of your house is plenty big enough for all of your clothes and shoes. Some of y'all get that later. Number five, your pickup is low maintenance. An occasional rain shower is suffice for cleaning it up. The sixth advantage of being a man, you never have to worry about a run in your hose. The seventh advantage of being a man is you can go 3 or 4 days without shaving, and most people just think you haven't been negligent. You're just growing a beard. Eighthly, gray hair, baldness, and wrinkles just add to our character. Ninth, if there's another guy in the church that has the same outfit on as you, you're probably going to high-five each other and become lifelong buddies. And lastly, an occasional belch is practical and usually in order. And see, ladies, you can't enjoy any of those things. And I know you have your own perks, but being a man has its special privileges. Did you know that Mother's Day is the largest day of communication of the year in a single day? There are more phone calls made on Mother's Day than any other day of the year. Of course, now we live in the era of cell phones, so you know I call it PCD, post cell phone days. Okay? But on Father's Day, and this is a known fact, before the days of, or the popularity of cell phones, the largest day of collect calls. Now, you young people, collect calls means you called, you made a phone call, and you told the operator, you, whoever you was calling, you wanted them to pay the bill, okay? Father's Day had the reputation of being the largest day of collect calls than any other day of the year. That is the truth. That is proven. Typically, Mother's Day, we just celebrated it a few weeks back, is a salute to mothers. But do you know in most Father's Day services, I belong to a group called Sermon Central, sermoncentral.com. And you can go up and it's where pastors and preachers log their sermons. There's thousands upon thousands upon thousands of sermons on Sermon Central. It's a great resource for ministers. It's I don't suggest you plagiarize, but it's a great resource. But when you read over Father's Day messages, and you can search, you can use that as a search engine. It's put in Father's Day on Sermon Central, and it brings up hundreds and hundreds of Father's Day messages. You compare those Father's Day messages to mothers, and mothers is all about the The Proverbs 31 woman on Mother's Day, a virtuous woman, and all of these attributes of life. But when you bring up the messages about Father's Day, most of them, and this is not a joke, most of the Father's Day messages are geared along the lines of bringing rebuke to deadbeat dads. That's the truth. They are. But in doing a little bit of research, I found out that 40% of the fathers in America have shunned their fatherly responsibilities. And that's bad. But I don't want us to focus on that this morning, because I'm not great in math, but I do know 6 plus 4 makes 10. So if there's 40% of fathers that have shunned their fatherly responsibility, that tells me that there's 60% of the dads in this world that have taken their job to heart, and they have been good dads taking care of their families. So I'm not here to tell all of us dads what we're doing wrong and what we should be doing right. But I'm here to speak to everyone, but in particular to us dads. I'm here to preach to us and let us know that we are, if you would, an inexpendable part of the family unit. The family still needs daddy. Okay? We are very important, guys. We are very important. And I know there's a lot that's on our shoulders. There's a lot that you and I have to do. And just because somebody has to tell us 6 months from now, remind us to do it again, it doesn't mean that we're not going to get to it. It means we're just waiting for the right time. Amen? I want you to turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, and we're going to go to verse number 11. And Jesus has recorded in the Gospel of Luke, He uses a parable here, as He uses the dad, the father unit in the household, as part of a parable, if you would. Luke 11 and verse 11, Jesus said, Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil... Now, let me stop there. Let me say this. Jesus was not saying to these bitches that you're meaner than a bunch of snakes. You got to understand the context of evil there. Evil there means you that are sinful. You are men that are sinful. You are carnal in nature. He said, if you then are carnal in nature, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Amen. Father, we thank You today for all of our dads, all of our men. We thank You, Lord, for the ladies too. Because, God, we realize without them, we wouldn't be here. So, God, it's all of us here together today. And, Lord, as we acknowledge and celebrate this special day that is set aside in our society, Lord, to acknowledge the dads and the fathers and the men, Lord, this morning. But, Lord, most of all, we worship You as our Heavenly Father. And, Lord God, we just ask that, Lord, that You will smile greatly upon this part of our service and bless us and minister to us as only You can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, a few years back, I have to admit, I didn't watch a whole lot of it. I didn't care for it. I told you all, I think it was last Sunday, I love sitcoms. I love comedy. There's not much out there now that is fit to watch. One of my favorites I mentioned last week with old was Fred Sanford, Sanford and Son, you know, and Aunt Esther. And I love that. But a number of years ago, it seems like that sitcoms and comedies begin to take a turn in television. And television is a big part of our life in America for the most part. There's some people that refrain, and that's their choice. It can be a good thing. It can be a bad thing. But a number of years ago, and has the whole thesis of comedy begin to change. There was a guy that came on TV, and again, he wasn't my forte, but this guy's name was Al Bundy. And Al Bundy come on TV, and in his sitcom, Al Bundy was he was depicted in this sitcom as some man of great ignorance, if you would, a man that was had the IQ of a coal bucket, a man that could not walk and chewing gum at the same time. And in this sitcom, his kids and his wife all made him, if you would, look dumber than dirt. They looked down upon him. They discredited him. He was somewhat an embarrassment to the entire family. It bothers me a little bit in that, because I saw that and I look back, and even now I look and I see that trend continue in American society. I see in American society, I see the head of the household. And ladies, that does not discredit you in any way. It does not demeanor you. But the reality of it is, in the structure of God's Word, the dad, the male, the man, the husband, is to be head of the household in God's plan and design of the family unit. So we find that in this whole situation has it's evolved through these last 10 or maybe even 15 years, we see that even in TV commercials and a lot of different things, that the male role, the manly role, the fatherly role in the household and in society is oftentimes depicted as the men are, if you would, even sub-ignorant, if you would, or wasn't the men are not very smart. You know, all of us, if you look around, all of us should carry the name Bubba as our middle name, because that's what society has portrayed us to be. But I have news for you. I believe that when we, if we, and when we discredit the ability, the God-given ability of a man, we have discredited the plan of God, because God has set the family unit in order. Understanding that the family unit is very important to us. It should be anyway. You know, we put a lot of emphasis on the church, and the church should be very important to you and I. The church is a very important part of who we are. It's a very important part of our faith. It's a very important part of our Christianity. Can you go to church without being... can you go to church and not be saved? Yes, you can. Can you be saved and not go to church? Yes, you can. But I've never understood somebody that didn't know Jesus that did not want to go to church. I've never found the logic in that. The church is a part. It's part of, it's the institution of the assembly of the family of God. God's made it from the beginning. But there's something that is much older than the church, and that is the family. And that is family. And Christ speaks of, just as He is head of the church, the man is head of his family. Just as Christ is the high priest of the New Testament church, do you realize that the man, the male role, is to be the high priest of his home? He is to be the high priest of his home. You know what? The priest, the office of priest serves, and, you know, this was stated this week down at conference. The role of the priest is to stand between. It is to be the representative, if you would. So the dad is the representative of the house. The male is the representative of the family. Doesn't mean that mom doesn't have her part or the wife doesn't have her part, but there is a jurisdiction, if you would, or a perimeter that God wants the man to serve. So let's forget about all of Hollywood's depiction of dad being the family idiot. And let's figure out that the kids don't need to grow up by themselves. And the wife and the mom doesn't need to take charge and run everything in the household, although she is to complement her husband. Listen, We need to understand that fatherhood is a very, very and extremely important and vital role in the family unit. Paul designates the dad as the leader of the family in his writing to the Colossian church. In Colossians 3 and 18, Paul wrote, "Wives, submit yourselves to your husband as it is fitting to the Lord." If you want to make Jesus happy, ladies, be submissive to your husband. Now, if he's beating you up and knocking you around and being mean to you, then he is not treating you right. And I'm not suggesting that you, and Paul's not saying you need to be a doormat of inopportunity, if you would. But he should be blessing you and you should be blessing him. And he says in verse 19, "Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them." And then in verse 20, he says, "Children, did you know this? Is there anybody in here that's not a child? Every one of us in here is a child. Despite what you may be told, a buzzard did not, on the rock thing, you know what I'm talking about? And you were hatched out. I have not seen any cabbage patches since being in West Virginia. So odds are you weren't on a rock, you weren't under a cabbage leaf, and that big old white bird just didn't drop you down the chimney someday. You are children. You were born. We were all born. So then Paul goes on. He says, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases God." If you want to please the Lord, bless your parents. You want to please the Lord, love your parents. You want to please the Lord, obey your parents. So, then in Timothy, Paul also urges Timothy, in order to be the leader that you're going to be, you manage your children in a respectable manner. Dads, we got an awesome responsibility before us. We got a charge. We got a job to do. And it's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be the easiest decisions to make. It's not always going to be easy to get up and go to work on Monday morning. But yet, God put something in us. He made us strong in different ways than He made the woman strong. There's a great, great teaching that was put out a few years ago by Dr. Adrian Rogers. Now, the late, great Adrian Rogers, considered the Prince of Preachers. And in that, Dr. Rogers depicts and describes the difference between men and women. And if you haven't noticed, there is a difference. There is a difference. The men, we are made to fill that role of masculinity. We are made to take out the trash. We are made to mow the yard. We're made to shovel the sidewalks off in the wintertime. God made us for that. The women are made to make the decisions for us. In his study and in his message that Dr. Rogers preached, he brings in the fact that how men and women are so very different. Men, listen, we do have a brain. I established that already. We're not all out sitting here and are a spiritual or virtual Al Bundys. We all have a brain, but where we come into difficulty, men, is we only operate off of one side of our brain at a time. Literally. Women operate off of, can work both sides of their brain work simultaneously. Men do not. It's proven. Men only work one side of the brain works at a time. That's why, you know, you can sit in your house, you know, if it's like me, you know, you ever notice when you pull up, when you're looking, maybe you're driving somewhere and you're looking for directions, you're not sure where you go, and you pull up to a stop sign and you're trying to figure out which way to go, you reach up and turn the radio down. You ever notice that? It's because you want to hear where you're going. Men do. That's the way men work. Men think that way. That's the reason. Men, you know, I'll say here, when I'm reading, when I'm studying, when something's going on, if there's anything going on, I may do some soft praise music or something like that if I'm studying. Most of the time, not even any lyrics, just instrumental music. Sister Sarah can sit at home. She can be on the couch. She can have her e-reader out. She can have the TV on. She can have the radio on and be talking to me all at the same time and know everything that's happened. You can put six men in the room. If more one of them talks at a time, they're confused. You put six women in the room, there's 12 conversations going on at one time, and they all know what the other said. Men and women operate different. But yet, God has given us the opportunity, men, to serve that masculine role. And we're to manage our households and we manage our children in a respectable manner. So we're also charged with responsibility of looking after the best interests of our families. And in that, financially, spiritually, and socially. And that sounds like, man, that's a lot of responsibility. That's a lot to do. That's a lot to take on. And there have been people that have walked away from it and said, I just can't do this. I can't handle this anymore. But realize this, I'm a firm believer that God has not called us and designed us to do anything that He has not equipped us to do. So I want you, ladies, I want you to look, if your man's with you, or if there's some, you can even say it's somebody else's man if you want to this morning, but the fact of the matter is, look at that man that's close by you, that whether he's young or old or whatever, and tell that person, God has equipped you to do what He's called you to do. Because He has, and He's blessed us with fathers. He's blessed us with people, and He's blessed us with men that will lead us. So fatherhood, manhood, if you would, is a God-given instinct, and it's enforced by the Word of God. The Father's love is strong. It is different, but yet is the same as the mother's love. The Father's love goes beyond, and Jesus even spoke to us about how much we love our children. He loves us even more. But the Father love is a little bit different. Sometimes us dads, our love is just so different. I read this story and I wanted to share it to you. It said one night a wife found her husband standing over their newborn baby's crib. Silently, she watched as her husband stood over their new child. As he stood looking down at the sleeping infant, she saw on his face a mixture of emotions. She saw disbelief. She saw doubt. She saw delight and amazement, enchantment, skepticism. He stood there and stood there and stood there for several minutes, just weeping. She didn't want it to be interruptive, but amazed she couldn't hold it back any longer. She was touched by this unusual display of emotion of her husband, this new dad. She walked up and gently placed her arms around his shoulders, and she said to him, "Honey, a penny for your thoughts." He said, "This is just amazing." She says, "It is, isn't it?" He said, "Yes, it is." He said, "How in the world could Walmart sell a crib like this for $49.95? Men get emotional over different things than... You all do, ladies, we do. You know, it's when our kids fall down, it's when our kids get hurt, when our kids get up, we'll say, "I'll get up, you don't be all right." You know, that's our cure for everything. "I'll get up, you don't be all right, shake it off." You know, when mamas will say, "Oh, you poor baby, you need a Band-Aid, come here." But that doesn't mean our love may be different, but it doesn't mean it's any less. In fact, our love is to be a strong love, and our love is very close to that godly love because that's what Jesus says. So, moms are about huggy and kissy, while dads are about hugs, high fives around there, or even giving a few nucks. Okay? We're just different in that. But that doesn't mean that we love any less. In fact, Jesus said, which of you, if your son asked for a fish, would you give him a snake? And the fact of the matter is, we may not be too compassionate to the scrapes and the cut and the bruises and all of that stuff. But that dad that truly loves his children is going to bless his children and do everything he can to help them succeed and to make everything better. That's the way Jesus loves us. And He says, because I love you that much, I'm going to give to you my Holy Spirit. So, dad's love is on display. It's on display as a provider. It's the instinct of the male to provide for the household. When Peter asked the Lord how they were going to pay for their taxes, Jesus told him, He said, take a coin from the fish's mouth. We learn from that the Heavenly Father is our provision. Anything that you and I need comes from our Heavenly Father. By that same model, the things that we need in our home, our children, it will come by us, their Father. When Jesus, when he fed a multitude with a few loaves of bread and a few fish, He proved an example of the Father who provides every need. That's us, dads. Every need. So, Paul, in teaching in 1 Timothy 5 and 8, he says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, he said, especially for the immediate family, he's denied the faith and he is worse than an infidel or a non-believer. So we as men of God, we as men of God, keep our godly role. We provide for our families. We provide in every way, physically, financially, and we also provide as mentors. Let me tell you something. This guy right here. Now, y'all don't know him too good. Y'all don't know him like anything like I do. But I want to tell you something about this guy right here.
I got hair.
Yeah, he's got hair. Most of it's coming out of his ears. But let me tell you something about this guy. The older I get, the more I act like him. You know why? It's the instinct. Sarah's sitting there saying, oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. No, that's not. He's a pretty good guy, so there's nothing wrong with that. But listen, in the fatherly instinct, out of all the superheroes out of the world, Captain America, Spider-Man, whoever, out of all the heroes of the world, it's more than like, we've taught, Sister Sarah and I have taught before, it's amazing children, young adults now, that never even knew their dad, really knew their dad, but they've grown up and they act just like them, even though they didn't know them. It's in your DNA, it's in your instinct, it's in your nature. And the same way is we act like God. But this is what I'm saying to you. Dads, understand this. You are the superhero of your family, whether or not they ever acknowledge it. You are who they're going to act like. You're who they're going to talk like. You're who they're going to do like. They'll develop their own personality, sure. But long and the short of it, you will be the model for the children of that household. So we mentor and we teach. We're living examples. We're the best educators our children will ever have. And we express our love, dads, through discipline. Solomon taught that the son who is loved will be disciplined often. And that role shifting to the father. Last week I preached on discipline, where discipline and grace collide. Jesus rebuked Peter and he said, Satan, get thee behind me. And he portrayed a powerful love act of discipline. Dad, sometimes we've got to be the strong person of discipline. Because mama's not, no, she's not going to be. Granny's not going to be. That's why when we go up to Zach and Jackie's house, we pull up, or if they come by our house, the grandbabies come running in, they don't run in and say, oh, Pa, 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 we love you, Pa. They come in, first thing they say is, hey, Pa, where's Granny? Granny lets them get by with more. Moms let us get. Dads are not always popular because they are the people of discipline. But understand this. If that dad really loves his children, and every one of you in this room are children, some of you, your dads may be gone on, some of you may be still blessed to have your dads a long time, like Tammy and myself are. Some of you may have lost your dad a long time ago, but understand this, if your dad loves you, he's going to discipline you. And disciplines go on for a long time in life. Children that are raised in the discipline of a strong and loving father will have greater discipline as adults. And disciplined adults make greater contributors to society. So a dad expresses his love through protection. He places himself in the way of trouble. Now, if you're in your house, guys, if you're laying in your bed in the middle of the night and you hear what you think is somebody crawling through a window or breaking through the door, the thing to say is not, honey, why don't you get up and see who that is? The responsibility is yours. The responsibility is mine. We're the keepers of the castle. And we will lay down our life interests, we'll lay down our desires, and we put aside our personal interests for the sake of our family. This morning, again, every one of us in here are children. And I'm going to be a little bit reminiscent tonight, or this morning. I'll think about back my dad that sits here. I'm thinking back to when Tammy and I were younger. She's the oldest. I was the better looking. She was the oldest. She got everything. I didn't get anything. That's why the way it works when you're the baby. Who said yeah? But I think back to my dad that sits here right now, and I think back about the years that he worked in an old garment factory, and I know he didn't make much money, and I think about the years that he would go out and he would paint on the side, he would paint fences, he would paint roofs, he would do all this, he would roof houses, and he would do all these things just so we could have. We didn't have but one car. We didn't have a phone in the house. You know, we had my aunt next door, she had a phone, and we'd just go out. Whenever somebody wanted to call us, they'd call down there, and she'd holler at us, hey! And I could look back and say, boy, we had a rough life. We had a bad life. But the reality of it is we didn't have a bad life at all. We had a very good life. Because we had a dad that worked hard to take care of us and to bless us and to provide for us. We didn't have everything. I remember the first pair of Chuck Taylor Converse I had. I was a sophomore in high school. And that was a big deal. $12.99 from the local hardware store. But it's just the way it was. But we had a good dad, still have a great dad, that blesses us. So our dads are very important to us. Sometimes overshadowed. Not intentionally, I don't think. But a love that's misunderstood. And sometimes misinterpreted. Dads, 40% of them may be deadbeats. but 60% of them are getting it done. So, Paul said this in 1 Thessalonians 2 in chapters and verses 11 or 12. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. So dads, I want you to know this. You're extremely important. Men, maybe fathers-to-be, you're extremely important. We carry the responsibility of protecting, providing, and interceding for our family's sake physically and spiritually. We have the power to shape our families, and not only our families, but our church and our society by the way we live every single day. We're the first line of defense. We're the front line of war over our families. And we're commissioned by God to deliver the good news, the gospel, into our own households. Again, reminding we're the priest of the household. So not just by what we do on Sundays, but every single day, dads, we live Jesus in front of our wives, in front of our children, in front of our peers. And we worship the Lord by fulfilling the role of being dad. Jesus said again, now how many of you, if your child wanted a fish, would you give a snake? Or if he asked for some scrambled eggs, would you give to him scorpions? How many of you would do that? Jesus knows there is, of course, it's not particularly answered, but I think it's pretty much a common sense thing. We'd say, no dad would do that. Well, Jesus said this. He said, how much more will your Father in heaven, how much more does He know how to give you good gifts? Let me tell you something. Some of you in here may have difficult relationships with your dad. Some of you may have no relationship at all. But I'd say a lot of you in this room had some good dads. Some gone on. Some still here. But the truth of the matter is, the best dad in the world cannot compare to the dad that Jesus wants to be to you. He wants to be a dad that surpasses every other dad to you. He wants to be the dad to teach you the things of life. He wants to be a dad may not pick you up and always put band-aids on, but he may look at you and say, get up and get back on that bike. Pedal some more. He might be the dad to you that says, well, now, if you really want this, you may have to work a little bit to get it. But let me tell you this. He will be Abba, Daddy. Is the best daddy that you can ever have. And if you're here and your dad has failed you, or you at least feel like your dad's failed you, let me say this. You got a big daddy to pick you up and to take care of you. And if you're here this morning, dads, and you feel like you failed your family, you failed your kids, you failed your wife, you just feel like you're a total failure, let me tell you what, there's no better time to adjust things in your life than right now. No better time to adjust things in your life right now. And to say, Jesus, make me the best daddy that I can be. Make me the best husband that I can be. Jesus, I need you to make me that man of God. and provide the good gifts for my family that they're in need of. I want you to bow your heads with me just a moment. You may be here in this room. Dads, I've spoke somewhat directly to you today. But moms, ladies, don't want to disinclude you either. But if you're in this room, maybe your parents, maybe your dad, maybe your mom failed you, or maybe they didn't fail you, but you feel like you're a failure within yourself. Jesus wants to lift you up, and He wants to make you into that brand new being, just like He is. So if you're here this morning, maybe you feel that someone failed you, or maybe you feel like that you're a failure within yourself, but you need Jesus in your life. You want to be what God has for you to be. If you'll just slip up your hand and say, "Pastor, pray for me, and I won't embarrass you." Anybody in this room? Anybody at all? Just slip up your hand real quickly. Anybody in this room need to be saved? You need Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. We'd love to pray with you. Is there anybody at all? Okay, guys, this is what I want us to do. All the guys, whether you're dad or you or not, I want all the guys to come down here. I want you to come down here and meet me. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. So that's why we need the women. See, if I said women come on first, then all of y'all have been right behind them. I want us all to sort of gather here towards the center. I want us to gather close at hand. Come on up here, guys. I want to say this to you all in particular. I want to let you all know that I'm very proud of you. Did you know in America, church statistics, if the children are taken to church, dropped off, or if they're picked up in van ministry, bus ministry, the opportunity for the rest of the family to go to church is very, very slim. If mom goes to church and takes the children, the opportunity that the entire family ever becomes church is very slim. Okay? Increases a little bit, but it's still slim. It's like 40%. But did you know this? In the instances of the home, in the instances when the dad goes to church, do you realize that in 80% of the time when dad goes to church, the entire family goes to church? So you guys fill a very important role. You're doing a great job just doing what you're doing, just by being in church. But I want us to squeeze together just a little bit more. Come on, let's get a little bit more friendly. Now, ladies, I want you to come in and get behind these old hairy-legged, bald-headed guys, okay? Some of them's not bald-headed. Nathan, he's got the wave, and Scott's got all of the silver stuff. Because listen, ladies, you know, somebody said behind every good man there is a woman, and there's probably some truth in that. Behind every good man there's a good woman. And there's probably some truth in that. But I want you to know that these guys are behind you all as well. And I believe because by virtue of the men being head of the household as designed by God, I believe men come under somewhat different attacks at time of women. Okay? I had this conversation with some here that's even here in service this morning. And I say this often. I don't believe the attack of Satan is just as individualized as oftentimes we make it. Now granted, he will attack whomever he can. He's out to destroy whomever he can. But I believe if Satan can attack the home, if he can attack the family unit, and he can divide or destroy the family unit, then he's done a far greater thing than just attacking you or me. Okay? Because if he's attacked the family unit, and when the family unit is broken down, and understand this, what I was saying to you earlier, I don't think I finished my thought, is before the church as old as it is, the church wasn't the first thing to exist. The family was the first thing to exist. And the first person of the family to exist was the dad, Adam. And the woman came out of Adam, created by God, but came out of Adam. So guys, I ask these ladies to come up here behind us because I'm going to ask them to reach through and to lay hands on you. And some of you may want to move around. If you ladies, if your husband's here, I urge you to put your hands on your husband. He needs you to pray for him. Maybe it's your parent. Maybe it's your dad. Put your hands on your dad. But we're going to pray for the men of God this morning. That we will be the men of God that God's wanting us to be. So right now, just if you need to move around a little bit, just take a moment and move around to somebody close to you. And we're just going to pray for one another right now. Okay? All right, are we ready? All right. Right now, I just want you to join me. All of y'all, just pray together, ladies. Just pray over these men. Father, as we come to you right now, Lord Jesus, I thank you for my dad. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for him being a great provider to us and to our home. And God, working hard all of the years of his life. I thank you, Lord, for his wisdom and his knowledge and his ability to do things and provide in ways, Lord, that only he could do. And Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for putting up with some of my foolishness and all the dumb things that I did in my life. But God, yet he loved me and he blessed me and he still blesses me. So God, today I lay hands on my daddy and I pray for him that, Lord, that you'll just continue to bless his days with health. Continue to bless his days, Lord God, in every way. Let every step that he steps, every step that he takes, let it be ordained by you. And I thank you for my dad today, and I just believe that you're ministering in a special way in his life. And God, I pray for the rest of the men of this church, Lord. I pray for Carrie right now. God, I pray that you'll just minister to him. God, that his life will be, Lord, to the fullness. God, he will serve the role as dad, as granddaddy. Lord, you will bless him in everything that he does, God. I pray for Dave, Lord God, that, Lord, that he will fulfill that role. He will fulfill that role of dad and granddad. And God, you'll bless him, Lord, and minister in his life. Lord, I pray for Heath right now, God. I pray that, Lord Jesus, that as Heath grows, Lord, as a young man, and someday, Lord, you're going to bless him with that right person, Lord. And she's going to be, Lord, his helpmate, and God, and perhaps he will have children someday. God, I believe, Lord, that you're just going to bless his life, Lord God. And Lord, I pray for Chase as he, Lord God, is the husband of the house, and perhaps someday he and Haley will have children, Lord God. And God, I just believe that you're just going to strengthen him to fulfill the role as husband and maybe of dad. And God, you'll bless him and you'll take care. And Lord, I pray, Lord, for Aaron, and I pray for these young boys. Lord, I believe that you're blessing their lives. And Lord, Aaron is going to be the best dad that he possibly can be, and a great husband, Lord Jesus. And I pray for Stephen, Lord. I pray right now that Stephen is going to be the greatest granddad and granddaddy that he can be, Lord. And as he serves Carly as husband, God, you're just blessing his life, God. And I pray for Nathan. God, I believe right now, God, that you're just giving Nathan that strength and that anointing that he needs, Lord, to be, God, the dad the husband, God, that You've called him to be. Lord, his wisdom and his ability to be dad will not, has not, cannot waver. God, You're blessing him and anointing him for service, Lord. Lord, I pray for Mike. God, Mike is going to be the greatest dad, Lord, that he can be. A granddad, Lord, that will teach, Lord, the second generation, God, and lead them and guide them. Lord Jesus, You're anointing him for service. Lord, I pray for Frankie right now. God, that You're blessing Frankie, Lord. Lord, not only to dad of children that he and Dana have given birth to naturally, but Lord, You're giving him anointing to be dad to grown children, Lord. And the children of others, Lord, that were in need of a dad. And God, You bless them, Lord, by putting them into Frankie's presence, God. God, I pray for Brother Barry. God, I pray that, Lord Jesus, that You'll anoint Barry to serve his children. Serve his grandchildren. God, bless their lives, Lord, with wisdom and influence. Giving them direction and guidance. God, I pray for Scott right now. God, Scott, Lord, will just continue to be the dad of influence, Lord, to these three. Three that are serving You and following, Lord. Anointed footsteps. But God, there's more days ahead. And I pray right now, Lord, that You anoint Scott in the fullness of the Holy Spirit to be the dad. Maybe someday granddad. Lord, that he will influence and he will bless his family as they go forward. God, I pray for my brother right now. God, that You will meet his needs. Lord, let him be the man of God that You've called him to be right now. Following the leadership of Your Spirit and Your Word. God, allowing, Lord, You just to develop his life in a very special way. God, I pray for Luther. I pray as he celebrates another birthday. Lord, I pray that as he's sitting here and we know he's so proud to have his children with him today. As they've come to celebrate this special weekend with him. But God, You're anointing him and he's continuing to provide that fatherly care for his family. And You'll bless him as he serves them and he serves his wife. God, You're just going to let him be the man of God that You've called him to be. God, I pray for Brother Willard. God, right now, Brother Willard will serve his family. He will serve Janice. He will serve children, grandchildren, generations to come. God, You will anoint, You will bless, and You will work through him. And Lord, his leadership skills as a dad will increase. His influence, Lord God, will be renowned within his family. So God, bless him right now and anoint him for service as well. And Father, if there's one single person in this room, one single man that we have missed, God, I ask that You'll touch them and bless them. Teach them and lead them and guide them in all that they do. For God, we choose to be the men of God that You've called us to be today. And Lord, we will hold the banner high, the cross of Calvary in our families. We will wave the banner in our communities because we are pursuing the men of God that You've called us to be. We're in pursuit and we latch hold on it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ladies, I want you to give these guys one more hand clap. Give the praise to Jesus for men of God. Men of God. Men of God.